Now, as we battle the impact of coronavirus, there's been a lot of reference to the Spanish flu epidemic of 1918. It's been called the most severe pandemic in recent history, and it led to the loss of at least 50 million lives worldwide. So it was a very, very different scenario to the 200,000-odd lives lost globally in this pandemic so far. How relevant is it to talk in 2020 about a disease that struck us more than a century ago? If you think about it, life is so very different now. Our ability to prevent disease is different. Our ability to treat disease is different. Our understanding of what germs are and how they spread is different. Are there really lessons to be learned from a pandemic in 1918 that are relevant to COVID-19? My next guest thinks there certainly are, so much so he's hosting a webinar on the subject this very afternoon. So we're going to give you a bit of a sneak preview now. And if you're interested in what he's discussing and would like to hear more, we encourage you to join the Zoom gathering at 4 o'clock this afternoon. And I'll tell you at the end of the interview how to do that. He is a repeat visit to the show. We last had him on about 2 years ago, chatting to us about the history of Maikiesfontein. And it's a very warm welcome back to Dr. Dean Allen, who is an academic and historian who shares his time between South Africa and the UK. Good to have you on the show again, Dean.
Good afternoon, Pippa. Thank you for having me. It's lovely to be back.
I confess my own recall of this particular chapter of history is a little bit sketchy. So I think for the sake of those who are in the same boat as me, can we start with a bit of an overview of what happened in 1918, Dean? And I think important to start with the fact that although it's called the Spanish flu, it didn't originate in Spain, did it?
No, it didn't, ironically enough. We go back to 1918 because, as you intimated, there are so many lessons we can actually learn from history. So in 1918, we were at the end of the Great War, as it were. So the world had been at war for 4 years. And then this pandemic broke out in an army camp in America and inadvertently spread throughout the world. It turned out to be the greatest natural disaster that mankind has actually faced to date. And I think you mentioned 15 million deaths, Pepper. It was actually 50 million, 50 million deaths.
Yes, 50, sorry, my pronunciation. Yeah.
That resulted from the Spanish flu. And in fact, some scientists claim that it could be up to 100 million.
Sure.
So it's an incredible tale from history. And in fact, you know, over a quarter of the world's population became infected at one time or another from this. Now, of course, I'm here speaking to you in different circumstances than I was last on the show, and I've decided to go back and actually look at comparisons. And as you said, this afternoon we're going to be giving a talk, and people are really, really using this information so we can actually, you know, cope with what's happening today, because there are so many lessons from history.
Yeah, well, I mean, the impact is immediately evident on our WhatsApp line. Stan in Cormickey messaging to me to say that both my maternal grandparents died of the Spanish flu in 1918, 4 months apart from one another. And Stan, I'm sorry for that loss, because I'm sure there are many families who have a similar story. As Dean has just said, a quarter, some say even a third of the world's population got that bug. Many, many people died. Dean, the one interesting difference between the Spanish flu and COVID-19 is who were the most common death category, if I can put it that way, because I know children were particularly high risk of Spanish flu, and that is emphatically not what is happening with COVID-19.
No, that's certainly one of the main differences, Pippa. In fact, in terms of the affected groups, 66% of all deaths in the 1918 to 1920 pandemic were in the age group of 18 to 45-year-olds, which is obviously different from what we're seeing today with our elderly population most affected. Now, some interesting arguments behind why that was the case. I mean, obviously, with the world being at war, a lot of younger people were involved in the war in terms of, you know, fighting and close proximity and, of course, malnutrition and those kind of things. But in my research, there's an interesting argument to suggest that the older people back in 1918 had actually built up some form of immunity. It actually survived the 1890 Russian flu pandemic, and they built up an immunity in 1918 to actually survive this Spanish flu, which was, as you mentioned, was an incredibly evil disease. I mean, those kind of personal stories that your listeners are, I'm sure, going to share with us, I've heard so many. I mean, it's quite incredible. This Spanish flu could actually kill a person within 24 hours of contracting it, which is quite amazing.
Sure.
So in terms of what I'm trying to do now, I'm trying to give a sense of comfort in terms of comparison. You know, the world was at war. It was now experiencing this incredible pandemic on a global scale. But now, of course, as serious as the current COVID-19 crisis is, we got through that, and we'll certainly get through this, as you know, by learning the lessons from the past.
Dean, the interesting thing is, of course, how much more we know now than they did in 1918. They didn't even know what a virus was in 1918. They hadn't been discovered yet because the microscopes weren't powerful enough to detect them. So they didn't know what type of bug they were fighting. There were no antibiotics to treat the secondary bacterial infections that people developed. So what did they do to try and contain the Spanish flu?
Well, one of the main comparisons is actually what we're trying to do today, this personal protective equipment. Once it was actually realized that this virus that was spreading out from America and then around the world with the spread of troops and then refugees was actually killing people in their thousands. Incredible images that you can see on my talk later. You can see civilians wearing makeshift masks. There was an idea of social distancing. In fact, it was more through mistake that people found this out. I mean, there's an interesting case in America where the homecoming parades were actually banned in some cities for returning troops, such as Seattle, for example. They actually banned the homecoming parade, but a city like Philadelphia allowed this mass gathering of people. And within 2 weeks of that homecoming parade in Philadelphia, 14,000 people had lost their lives.
Sure.
So what we learned from then, as we do today, is social distancing is imperative. And now, of course, here in South Africa, our government is giving us these very clear, strict guidelines of how we must adhere to that. And I think that lesson comes from history, and perhaps that's what they've actually looked at. I mean, 1918, we've had more recent sort of epidemics, SARS, for example, and the swine flu. But this one in particular was very similar to today in the fact it was spread by people traveling around the globe. And we can see that there are so many comparisons, and we can learn, as you said, from what happened then.
Dean, someone's asking quite predictably on the SMS line, if it didn't originate in Spain, why is it referred to as the Spanish flu? It's to do with the media coverage which first alerted the world to it, isn't it?
Indeed, and what a strange reason. You've got to imagine that this virus came out of America. So a bit like Donald Trump today, do you remember him trying to refer to this as the Chinese virus?
Yes.
In the early days? Nobody wants the label of this of a pandemic. So with the superpowers such as America and Great Britain, etc., fighting in the First World War, they were keen to actually censor the news. They wanted to keep morale up. They didn't want to have ownership of this virus. Now, Spain was neutral within the First World War, so they freely reported the early cases. So the rest of the world looked at Spain and gave it the label Spanish flu. But would you believe, Pippa, that the Spanish, obviously reluctant to get this label, they called it the French flu in Spain because they blamed the French for spreading it there.
My goodness. Okay, that's a fascinating little snippet of history. Let's talk a little bit more about the measures they used. Personal protective equipment, social distancing. What did they have access to in terms of disinfectant? Dean, disinfectant to be applied to surfaces not ingested or injected, for the record. But what did they use in those times?
No, thankfully, they were a bit more sensible than suggesting that we should inject disinfectant. But it was more by trial and error, Pippa. People realized that if they did gather in large groups, that they would be spreading this. Now, there was knowledge about how the common flu was spread, that people by sneezing and touching each other would actually spread this. So in the same way that we're doing today, the distancing, the disinfectants of surfaces, the fact that people were dying in large numbers should they come together in social gatherings too soon. And we've got to remember that the Spanish flu actually lasted for 2 years. There was a second and third wave of this particular pandemic, and that's what we must guard against today, because here we're all keen, of course, and I can sympathize with the listeners. We're all going crazy in lockdown here. We want to get back to our jobs. We want to see our friends and family again. But if we return to normality, or whatever that is after this, too soon, there could be a second and third wave that could be just as devastating. And I think here in South Africa especially, the way this has been managed up to this point has been very disciplined. And if we do go back too soon, we'll see, as we did in 1918, that countries and regions will actually suffer even worse from a second or third wave.
Dean, the big question, as I said at the start of the show today, is at what point the management of the disease becomes more of a problem than the disease itself? At what point does the cure become worse than the bug in terms of the economic impact and the secondary effects of that economic impact? What do we see when we look to 1918 and the impact on the world economy of the Spanish flu that you find significant?
Yeah, well, I'm actually working on a second talk now, which is going to look at the actual lessons from history in terms of recovering from major depressions. Now, 1918, of course, the world was gripped by war, and it's hard to extract the data that, you know, yeah. how countries were affected by the war, for example, and then by the Spanish flu. It was like a double whammy, in effect.
Yeah.
But what we do see is that those countries with the greater resources, there's no surprise, I'm sure, that like America and Great Britain, the victors in the war came out of it a lot quicker. But if we look at figures around the world, I mean, South Africa was the fifth worst affected country in the whole world in terms of the 1918 pandemic. It was brought back by returning troops from the First World War. We didn't have an understanding of incubation periods. We only asked those troops to stay on those ships for 3 days, and inadvertently they brought this virus back from Europe with them. But India had the worst number of cases, excuse me. Up to 18 million Indians died as a result of the Spanish flu. And if we look at socioeconomic reasons, of course, that's how it's linked. So here in South Africa today, with a lot of our population, you know, in the lower socioeconomic ranges, and people are obviously worried about jobs and food and et cetera. That's understandable. We've got to realize that we are susceptible here in Southern Africa to this going on longer than any of us would want to even wish for.
Very, very sobering stuff. Dean, I don't want to preempt your entire webinar, but any other one or two last key factors you'd like to mention to our audience that I haven't asked you about?
Well, in terms of differences, what I will say is just to give people a crumb of comfort, and I will be giving some positive news this afternoon. The fatality rate was much higher in 1918. Thankfully, although we have lost far too many lives around the world, the fatality rate in 1918 was up to 5% of those infected. Those figures are far lower here. Yeah. We know we have the science and the techniques now and the treatment techniques to cope with this in 2020. And of course, they didn't have the tools of communication. There wasn't the internet. We didn't have TV. We didn't have people giving us that information. Yeah. And now we're in a much stronger position to cope with this. And we will come through this, as I said. And I think that's the power of history. If we don't learn from it, we're doomed to repeat it, one wise man once said. So I think that's I've thought what I can actually do to make a difference and help people at this time. So I've gathered this information. And it's not about what happened in 1918. It's what's happening today and what's going to happen in the future. And I think that's the key.
Dean, I'm sure there are many listeners who would love to hear more of your reflections on this. So if they'd like to join your webinar this afternoon, it's starting at 4 o'clock. Is the best way to follow the link to the Zoom conference via your website? I know it's posted at the bottom of your landing page.
It is, but if I may, Pepper, I'll give you the Zoom meeting ID. I think a lot of people are now familiar with Zoom, and if you enter this number on Zoom, it is 917-9478-7620. And if you could use the password LESSONS, that's LESSONS, with a capital L, that will get you into the meeting today at 4 p.m. If you haven't had time to take that down, please visit my Facebook page, which is Dr. Dean Allen, author, lecturer, historian, and all the details are on there.
And is there any cost to take part in the webinar this afternoon, Dean?
Well, no, we've been running this for free. What we're asking for is a small donation if people feel it's worth it, because obviously Zoom is expensive. We had such a response to our previous talks that Zoom was actually overloaded. So we've had to invest into a Zoom professional package so we can take up to 300 people this afternoon. So that would be most welcome. But please don't feel you have to pay anything. I'd rather people get involved this afternoon and be informed and join us. And as I said, I will have some positive messages as well. But I think the more knowledge we have at the moment, the better for all of us.
Okay. Dean, there's another question that's popped in. So if we've got 30 seconds more or so, let's try and see if we can answer it. Somebody asking on the WhatsApp line, why did people die so quickly? Is it because of the available treatment not being what it is today? Why that big difference?
Well, I'm a doctor of history, not a doctor of medicine, but there's a suggestion that it was actually the particular strain of this virus. It's a particularly virulent, powerful virus. We're seeing up to 30 strains of the current virus, for example. So there is this sense of mutation. So while we do compare the Spanish flu, it is a type of, you know, it is a similar type of virus. This one was particularly harsh, not necessarily to do with the conditions, but then it could have been. If you were in the trenches, for example, if you didn't have the appropriate protection, yes, within 24 hours you could die. And not everybody did, and people did recover like today. But we're finding that there are comparisons with the way this was treated, and we can certainly see comparisons and lessons from how this was handled in the longer term.
Dr. Dean Allen, thank you. What a fascinating conversation. A historian and author and a host of the webinar this afternoon. So again, if you've got a pen and you want to jot down that Zoom link, the meeting ID number is 917-9478-7620. And the password is the word lessons with a capital L. It is case sensitive, so be mindful of that. Otherwise, visit Dr. Dean Allen on Facebook to find the links, or your last resort is look for his website, Dean Allen, which is allen.co.za. If you scroll down to the bottom of the landing page, there is a link there that you'll be able to follow to register for the conference. It is this afternoon at 4 o'clock if you'd like to hear more of his reflections on similarities and differences between COVID-19 and the 1918 Spanish flu, as well as the lessons we can learn from history.